We return from executive session at 6:28. We'll call the meeting back to order. Next item on our agenda is audience participation. Does anyone in the audience wish to address the council on any items that are not covered in our agenda? Hearing none, we'll go on to written communications. Written communications, Sherry, do we have any?
We received an email dated February 5th from Bill Becht regarding the Blaine Depot study survey, and an email dated February 6th from Brendan Reed regarding the Blaine Depot study survey.
Okay. Next item is the consent agenda. We have a consent agenda, approval of bills in the amount of $123,354.91. Approval of payroll in the amount of $473,918.51. Approval of the council minutes for January the 26th, 2015. And resolution 1660-15, surplus of electrical equipment. I'll entertain a motion.
I move approval of the consent agenda.
Any questions or comments regarding the consent agenda?
Just one.
Okay. Charlie?
Is there any information regarding how our LED lights are functioning as far as cost?
I can answer that at least a little bit. Bill Bullock has done some analysis with some of the meters, and we also have some just basic verification and measurement relating to the new lights, and we still need to compare the two. So, because the metering that we have is from a very small area, and the measurement and verification component of the ESCO project, the one that did this citywide, is not completed yet. So, when we have that information, we'll report back. But so far, we're feeling encouraged.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion is carried 6-0. Next item on the agenda is the council action items. First item is resolution 1659-15, initiating amendments to the 2015 comprehensive plan docket. I believe, Mr. Jones, that's going to be yours.
So as you know, every year the city is able to consider amendments to their our comprehensive plan. We actually have a docketing process that allows us to docket in January and then again later in the year in July. But in any case, you can only adopt a group of comprehensive plan amendments once per year. They typically happen late in the year, or sometimes it rolls over into the next year just because of processing. Right now, we are in the process of managing two comprehensive plan amendments. One is the 2016 update, which is our overall comprehensive plan review and change. That's due in June of 2016. We started that last year. Planning Commission is taking things one step at a time there. We've even brought a couple of preliminary items to you already. The other item that we're looking at the Planning Commission, which has been on hold for a bit but is scheduled to come back at their next meeting, the one in the later part of February, not the one this Thursday, is to remove the Cannery Hill and West Semiahmoo PUDs from the Resort Semiahmoo Master Plan and the city's comprehensive plan because they extend well outside of the city and propose a lot of development in our UGA, or our former UGA, which is part of the topic tonight, as a matter of fact. Those two are very different. One of them, the one I just mentioned, the Cannery Hill West Semiahmoo one, is basically finished and there's very little work associated with it. The other one, the comprehensive plan update, will take us no more than a year to complete, but we have a lot of time to get a lot of work done, so that shouldn't be an issue. On this year's docket, there is one proposed comprehensive plan amendment, and docketing basically means to start something and allow us to pursue it and review it, bring it to the Planning Commission, bring you back the information, and then council will get a chance to decide on it. Council has the option to docket or not docket. You don't have to pursue everything that's placed before you, but you may if you decide to. And however, if you don't docket it, you really never get to hear more about it. So in the docket this evening is one item, which is a proposal to amend our sewer general plan, which is part of our comprehensive plan, and some language in the comprehensive plan itself, potentially even a map amendment to the comprehensive plan, but we, other than maps that are included in the sewer plan, we're not sure that there would be other map amendments in the comprehensive plan. And what this proposal is, it would be an allowance for the city to extend sewer lines outside the city's city limits and potentially outside the city's UGA, because the area that is proposed to be served is outside of our UGA. It was in our UGA when the project began to move forward, and it was in our UGA when it was vested by the county, and it's a 26-lot subdivision known as the Ridge at Semiahmoo. So that project was in our UGA, and it was in an area that the county felt was eligible for subdivision, and so they vested that project and allowed it to move forward. It'll likely go to the Planning Commission, or the hearing examiner, excuse me, at the county in the next few months. The circumstances, though, that it was taken out of our UGA, so us providing service to it is somewhat difficult without some changes to our comprehensive plan. The applicant does have the option of getting sewer from Birch Bay Water and Sewer District, but it's a very, very long line, something in the order of a mile or so. So it's not economically feasible. We are much, much closer. And so the applicant's proposal is essentially to make changes to our sewer plan that would allow us to provide the service. And kind of in a nutshell, that is it. Any questions on the item?
Michael, would the other utilities from the city be involved with that?
Likely no. Water service would probably be provided by Birch Bay Water and Sewer District, and then it is an area outside of our electric service area, I believe. Yeah.
And as far as the density of that development, is that within the, because if they could get sewer mm-hmm. lines, what would be the density? Is that at 4?
That's a great question. I don't know off the top of my head. Mr. Montgomery, do you know how many? It's 26 lots on how many acres? It's 4 houses per acre, which is what the county would require as an urban density to be compliant with GMA in our urban growth area. So that doesn't surprise me. We're not reviewing the subdivision, so that level of detail is not something we'll be considering at our.
And as far as the, since they're outside of the city limits, then the cost for services, how is that calculated?
Well, they would be subject to our unified fee schedule. So, for example, things like connection fees would likely be higher because that's how our structure is set up. I don't know that we have a fee structure that differentiates for monthly services for people who are outside of our service area or outside of our city limits for sewer. It's not, again, that's not really my ball of wax, but it's it would be something that the council would have to look at, but they, just like anyone else, would be subject to our unified fee schedule.
Okay. Paul, you have a question.
I do. If they did not hook onto the Blaine water system, and if they did not hook onto the Birch Bay water system, could they, in fact, have septic fields there?
Right, and I think you mean sewer system, right? They could have a, and they have looked at a large on-site septic system, which is kind of like a group septic, and they have begun that process with Department of Ecology and have done some studies to demonstrate that it can be done and it can be engineered. I believe there's even some preliminary engineering. However, a number of people have expressed some concern about that as not being the best way to manage stormwater in the soils that they have.
I'm not arguing for it. I'm really exploring possibilities.
Right. And so so the answer is simply yes.
Thank you. Any other further questions? Okay. The staff makes no recommendation on the merits of the proposal. If the City Council wishes to explore the possibility of serving additional sewer customers outside the existing service area, Council should approve Resolution 1659-15, initiating the 2015 docket of amendments to the City of Blaine Comprehensive Plan.
I move we go ahead with the approval of the resolution.
Second.
Okay. Any further questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion is carried 6-0.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is the Small Cities Economic Development Funding.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Before you are two options for an opportunity to work with the Port of Bellingham in funding a project. The first project is a new Amtrak stop in Blaine. It's an evaluation study. It's required the Department of Transportation for the state of Washington now has an application process which every city or entity on a train line needs to fill out and have submitted to them before they'll even consider a conversation. We've had various conversations about that with various people, and it looks like it's about a $65,000 project. They'll come in, we have a consultant who will analyze the train, they'll analyze the stop, they analyze all the elements that are required in the application, and then that application will then be submitted to the state. Then the state will use that in their decision-making relative to stops. So the question is then, well, what would be the reason for them to do something? There's a couple things. One is certainly we could wait until there's a realignment of rail north of us, which then would save potentially about 15 minutes. And so about in the world of trains, it's all about time. In minutes and tenths of minutes matter to them. They've got literally thousands of miles of trains moving constantly throughout the system. The mayor and I met this morning with some BSN folks. 18 trains a day come through the city today, every day, 24-hour basis. So the trains coming and going are really important. So anything they can do to save time is important. Relocating the rail north of us to some of the alignments that they're discussing would save about 15 minutes. We're not sure when that's going to happen. Could be years out. On the other hand, it could be possible, remotely, but possible, that something, some city down line, some city to the south that shares that same rail line is decided by Amtrak is just not productive. Maybe it's a passenger count. Maybe it takes too long to stop. Whatever those things may be, unknown to us, there's a chance that something would come up as an availability. Having the study in hand and hopefully not aged too much on the shelf could actually be a quick response to the question of who would be next, who could utilize the stop. And Blaine would have had its work accomplished, the application submitted, approved by the Department of Transportation, and just in a pattern of waiting. So that's an option. It takes the train stop question a little bit farther forward, a couple more steps. We can't do anything without that application being submitted. That's just flat-out rule. So at some point, we're going to want to do that. The other option for using some of the resource from the Port of Bellingham is to do a retail recruitment study. We've talked about this a little bit. We did certainly spent a lot of time in the Economic Development Committee recently talking about that. The purpose behind that is to help the city position itself for economic growth. It's a study that includes demographics, spending patterns, understanding who our customers are, going to those customers' places of residence and finding out what they have. In our situation, most of our customers, or many of them, come from the north of the border. So we would be studying where those people come from. What they'll use to do that is a massive database of credit cards. So they buy into the credit card company for the information they need. They mine the information relative to what they think they want, and they start developing a plan around that. In a retail fashion, they'll look at, they call it escape or loss, where someone would come into Blaine for dinner, for example, and they decide to go somewhere else because what they want to eat here doesn't exist. They want a Chipotle's, for example, they go to Bellingham. So they look for areas where the city doesn't provide some resource, some business that would attract and retain that area. Now, we did a study before with the Hebert, which kind of narrowed down some of those items. There's been a kind of a conversation about which is the best direction to go. We are moving in a medical fashion. I think that has strong possibilities for continuing to press that. Blaine Connect has been working with the Peace Health to accomplish that next step. We've had conversations about looking to develop more retirement community here. So there's lots of options. The study would help us decide which option's the best, and then start targeting and focusing our efforts in those areas. So it's instead of a shotgun approach, it's a much more specific approach with a bullet. So both of these options are on the table. It's all based upon funding that the Port of Bellingham has available for us. And we have to submit this application to them by the end of the month. So we're asking the council to kind of weigh in on what you think sense of it is. I will tell you, my priority is to do the economic study. I mean, that's been a direction that we've been going. It's a short-term process. There's going to get feedback on it. We're going to be able to use it readily and more quickly. On the other hand, that rail study is important. So I'm more economic development oriented because of the work we've been doing. But we wanted to talk to you about your thoughts and ideas before we submit an application to the board. Take any questions?
I'll start with Bonnie, Dennis, and then okay. We'll come to you.
Dave, the Amtrak stop, is this study going to be limited to Amtrak going all the way up to Vancouver? I thought we were also going to look at a commuter rail that would stop at Blaine, not go up to the lower mainland people that come down to take the train down to Seattle and all the way as far as Portland. See what I'm saying?
So I do understand that, and I can't answer the question specifically. That would be something I think the consultants would look at, the feasibility of that.
Then the relocation of the rail line up there would have no bearing on that scenario. Mm-hmm.
It still means that you still need to find the 15 minutes, but.
Well, not if it's not. Well, yeah, I guess so. If it comes up and stops in Blaine and then goes right back down. Yeah.
It's not a matter of how far it goes; it's how long it stays here.
Yeah, exactly.
But okay, but that question still is on the table about that intermediate stop. You're right about that.
Yeah, and also for this kind of study, couldn't we enlist some help from north of the border?
We might be able to have. We've talked about that with them. I would give that about a 50-50. I certainly wouldn't go to the port with that as a guarantee. I think we would need to backstop it with our own resources, then go to the cities to the north and ask them.
Yeah, but even if we could get $10,000 from two or three entities up there, it certainly would help. Mm-hmm. And then I want to piggyback. You're saying either or. Why can't we do both of these?
Well, you could. You got a little over $250,000 in the red loan or red fund account.
So how should we deplete it if we did both of them?
Well, you're at you'd be at least 40 to 80, almost $100,000, 105. Half. You'd take almost half.
They both have to be done at some point in time, and I think the rail study is. It can't go anywhere without having a study a ridership study.
Right.
It just can't go anywhere at all. So it's just kind of stalled until that gets done. Mm-hmm. So I would like to look at the possibility of doing both at the same time.
Dennis.
Dave, it's just the one amount, the $20,000 is what we're looking at from the port.
That's correct.
And they need identified projects?
Yes, they do. So I don't think, and it's kind of, we didn't really talk about splitting it. They didn't offer it. They're really wanting to allocate the project. They like a project to start and end.
Yeah.
And so we've allocated this to one or the other project. We certainly could do both. Your resources include the red funds. We haven't really talked about what the requirement would be to go into your reserve account. Or you could decide to fund it and then true it up at the end of the year. I mean, there's ways to get to the end game. The more certainty you have about the funding source, the better it is. So that's why we didn't offer up to. We didn't feel comfortable with that ourselves.
I think if I might interject also, just talking to the port last week, they're not only do they want to see something go in and get done, they really want to see it through completion. So in that calendar year, I think it's been a frustrating thing for them and some of the things we funded in the past because they don't have that completion date that they could show that this was done and for that. So whichever one we go with, we want to make sure that it can get completed by the end of the year.
David, just a question I have. We've already spent money on an economic development study. How much of that information that we've already gathered would be useful in this retail recruitment study? Is there anything?
Well, certainly the background of all of that would be valuable to the study. You'd add it into the information. And that study that Heber did really scopes that area of study down to those five or six categories. That's really specific to the gateway property and the industrial elements in the town.
So this would now include the entire city,
yes.
not just the gateway?
Downtown.
Do you anticipate Hebert being involved in this at all? So this would be a separate consultant?
Right.
Consulting firm or just an individual?
A firm. And actually, Michael had a chance to meet some of those folks recently, I think.
Yeah, when I was at the ICMA conference, I attended a couple of sessions and talked to someone independently about this. The Hebert study was very specifically oriented towards healthcare and not really the gateway so much as healthcare service and industrial development. The retail recruitment study is a very, very different thing. It's what people want to buy and shop for is what it would be studying. And what they do is they will look at the customer shed, so to speak, like a watershed, those people who can drive to this location within a certain time frame. They will look north of the border and south of the border because you really need to have that north of the border data. And I'm sure they'll do some kind of filtering to figure out who would actually come, and you'll add drive time for crossing the border. But ultimately, they'll come up with a number of people. And then, as Dave had mentioned, they'll look at their buying patterns, and they have a tremendous amount of information about people's buying patterns and figure out what's missing in that area and what lane could serve. So it's a very, in some ways, it's a similar concept as what Mr. Hebert did, but he really looked at specific industries and tried to find whether or not they are viable. This would look at the pool of people, consumers, and determine what's missing in the service area. And then that identifies niches that we would then use that information. What you do with this is you go to the companies that it may be. There's Chipotle or someone, and you go to them and say, look, we have a market for Chipotle right here in our community. Are you interested in locating?
It's similar to what we did with the dairy company. We didn't do it, but they must have done it.
They must have done it.
They
it is
must
what
have done
it is what others do, and this is exactly it's your recruitment tool to go out and draw them in rather than waiting for them to find you. Mr. Hawkins is.
I guess the next question: who would do the recruiting? I mean, would that be part of this? We would need to.
That would be probably a separate and next phase. I'm happy to share. A webinar that we got a DVD or CD-ROM on. It was presented by the ICMA group, the same one that Michael mentioned. Cities will put together an economic development organization, not unlike ours, and develop these kinds of recruitment tools, and then they go to specific types of trade shows, for example, retail trade shows. They take that information with them. They make appointments with as many different types of businesses that would be interested in relocating or starting a new business. So using Starbucks, for example, you'd make an appointment with those people that do Starbucks, sit down with your data, talk about your city, sell your attributes of the city, provide them with the information in a packet and format that they can look at and understand, because that's the data. They're looking at that type of data all the time. And they would compare our data against somebody else's data and make a decision to come to the city. Now, the city can be actively involved in this. And what the city can do, which is a little bit different than, let's say, the chamber, for example, is the city can talk about the speed of permit processing. It can talk about the way we go about our business. So we influence a lot of what developers are concerned about when they come to a community. We can reassure them that this is the city's effort. This isn't just a whim that we're thinking about. We've invested money in a report. We're here to talk to you. So you're doing a sales presentation to those potential end users.
Would you see this confined to the city itself, or would you see a role for the Economic Development Committee to play a role in this? Or would this come through them? Or?
Well, we would certainly use that committee as our resource. You know, they're the ones that would be looking at the request for proposals. They're the ones that would be interviewing the responders to that proposal, helping them make a decision about what they feel the best proposal looks like and what the best bang for the buck would look like. And then ultimately, I would ask them to make a recommendation to the city council which we would bring forward a contract with the scope of services and deliverables that you could look at, ask questions about, and ultimately approve.
Go ahead, buddy.
If I had to choose just one of these two, I also would choose the economic development study, because I think that's something that would be more ready, like Raven said, that the port kind of wants to see some action taken after something, and I do too. So I would choose that one, but I'm afraid that if we just say we're just going to spend the money on this retail recruitment one, I'm just wondering when the other one will ever get done. And we have already indicated, we put it out there to the public, that we are getting this train stop thing on fire again, and we're really serious about it. We're looking at getting a study done. We put it out there. And I'm afraid it's just going to sit, and nothing's going to be done for who knows how long. So we have $250,000 sitting in the Red Loan Fund. It has not been clamored after from the retail establishments in town to a very great degree. And maybe we need to, since it has to be done, this study has to be done anyway, and I think it's something we shouldn't put off for very long. Now maybe we want to wait 6 months or so and focus, you know, for a while on this first one, but I would really like to see us get moving on the second one, because we have a little momentum now and some interest.
Really? So the port has to go by first of March.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry. Would usually not do this, but I have to correct Dave. They need these by Friday.
Okay.
They just need our proposal. We can write something up.
Yeah, well, let's give them this economic development study to get their money. Yes. But then let's continue talking about spending our own money or wherever else we can get some funding.
So what we haven't done, which we need to do, is we're estimating what the cost would be. All of us have been involved in various studies in our careers, and there seems to be this 50, 60, 80, there's a kind of a range of dollars that seem to come in. What we could do in the meantime is actually go out and send an RFP out and get some proposals back and find out what the real cost would be based upon a negotiation. Consultants obviously want the work. If they know the money's at hand, like there's been an approved amount of money, it's a different response than a hope and prayer, but they will respond and have a conversation. So we could initiate both conversations and see where the other one comes in. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you that the train study is an important topic. It's been around for so many years that it would be good to take some action toward it. And you don't know, we don't know if some other circumstance is going to happen along the Amtrak surface area. Mm-hmm. A city could decide they don't want to support it anymore. I mean, I've been involved in things like that where it makes sense to have it in place and then things change. Mm-hmm. And then they don't want to support it, or things change for the railroad even. Mm-hmm. So we can initiate both if you'd like.
Yeah. Well,
I've been listening to discussions on the train station now for probably 6 or 8 years. And I don't recall until tonight being told that such a study is mandatory before anything can move forward. Mm-hmm. Is this a new requirement, or is it a requirement?
Yeah, I'll let Raven respond to that.
Yeah, this actually came out of the state rail plan. So we did participate in the state rail plan. We got Blaine on their radar. But as a part of that rail plan, they did what they called a pilot study for a passenger rail station for the city of Auburn. It was included in the funding for the plan, and they've stated that any new passenger rail stations need to go through that same study. It has all the criteria.
Okay, and when was that dated?
Oh.
2015 or 14, rather. It was last year.
Probably it was finalized last year.
So it genuinely is another hurdle that's been put in front of us.
Yeah, I guess I don't look at it that way, because I think that if you look at it with a glass half full, they've now outlined what's required, whereas before it was very much an unknown.
I think from what I understand,
how much does WASDOT play in the study? I mean, I know they're saying, hey, you guys go and do the study. Mm-hmm. I assume they're going to give us the criteria.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All the criteria are readily available on their website.
From Auburn. Mm-hmm. Now, am I correct in assuming that WASDOT did the Auburn study?
Yes, they did.
And they are.
Auburn paid for it.
I think WSDOT paid for it.
WSDOT, yeah.
Now,
WSDOT is not able to pay for it because my understanding is, from talking to them, is that they've got a commitment to 2015 to working on a federal project.
Yeah.
And they don't have any monies available or time or people available to work on this project. So they've said, go ahead and do it on your own. But I think at some point they said, as I recall, that once we did the study, they would be interested in working with us as soon as the 2017 started clearing its way. And I think what we would be doing is laying, you know, the roots down to where people would say, hey, these guys are serious. Maybe we should jump in and help them. But we won't get anywhere at all unless we do the study.
I never finished my other question.
Okay, go ahead.
But, you know, we talk about the bread fund and stuff like that. It seems like we're a little bit cavalier about this $250,000 so we can do these studies and this studies. We have to decide. I mean, I understand we can decide to do stuff, but it's two more studies that keep having the fund. It's just.
Right.
Yeah, neither good nor bad. It's just two more studies. And we have two more groups of consultants and just talk about dealing with it a little while ago. A little bit of hesitancy in my because of that. But I understand. I think the recruitment one is probably the first one. That's just from my standpoint.
Well, it's what the funds are there for economic development. And these kind of things, unfortunately, are very expensive.
Yeah.
Dave, is there any problem with getting information from Canada about the number of possible passengers?
Well, I think that's Amtrak will know the passengers, so we're gonna, and that's public information. The consultant will, you know, get all that information. And
I mean, is there?
I guess my question really is there
a demand
problem because we have a border that has to be crossed?
Right. Will they come down here? That's the question.
Mm-hmm. And what's the demand? So we were told
how do you get
by
an answer to that?
We were told by the officials at White Rock that they won't go to the. They won't go to Vancouver to take the train. It's such a hassle. It's better for them to get in their car and drive south. And then once they get to Bellingham, where there's a train station, they just stay in their car because it's so much easier to get south. So the question is, for those who would take a train to come to Blaine, what is the demand? And I think a part of that study has to include the conversation. We're very unique because we're at the border. Other cities are along the rail. I was going to mention earlier, I think one of the motivations behind this is the train station that was built in Stanwood. And I think, you know, that was really a political decision as opposed to a well-thought-out economic decision. And now they've spent a lot of money on a train station that's really underutilized. So they don't want to make that mistake again.
I think the argument that we've tried to present is, why does the Bellingham Airport, as busy as it is, I mean, it's not all people from Bellingham going to the Bellingham Airport. And the people are going there because it's A, convenient to cross the border, and they know that there's a service there that they can rely on. I think one of the problems with the rail service to Oregon has been the fact that, you know, the train leaves at 6 o'clock in the morning or something from Vancouver. I mean, it makes no sense at all. If you want people to travel from one point to another, you're going to have a convenient time. I think what could happen here in Blaine is if we worked with the railroad, we could have a train leave at a reasonable period of time. It would start here. And we could organize it so, you know, if it worked out, that we could have a train that would be people would want to use. I mean, if you go to people in British Columbia now and say, hey, would you like to use the Amtrak and get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and drive 3 hours to go to Vancouver to get on a train that's leaving at 6 o'clock, everybody goes, yeah, then forget that. But if you had a train leaving here at 8 o'clock in the morning, it was going to get you to Portland at, you know, 2 o'clock or whatever the time would be, then people might use it. And I think that's what we've got to really be able to zero in on the study is. What would we need to have for a train to be effective from this point? Joe?
Yeah. One of the issues that my wife and I did Amtrak across the Montana a couple years ago, And the one thing that we figured out about that is that unless they change it, passenger trains don't have priority.
No.
I mean, it's the freight trains. It's all this needle oil and coal and more trains and trains. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine that this is going to work out on a single rail from here to...
So I can tell you what we had lunch, was it last, summer, spring with the WSDOT folks who did the rail studies. This is where we really learned more about the application process. Burlington Northern owns the rails. They rent those rails to Amtrak to utilize. Amtrak owns trains, so that it's their trains on those tracks. If those trains run ahead of schedule, then that contract with Burlington Northern incentivizes and pays them. They get paid to stay on schedule. If the train is held up and slowed down for some reason that's caused by the Burlington Northern system, they lose money on that. So they're incentivized to keep those trains going. Now, do they stop? Absolutely. Are they on the sidings? Probably. But overall, I think that Burlington Northern is making more money by keeping those rails with those Amtrak trains coming through. We see them going pretty quickly through the area.
I understand it, but we're just talking about this tonight. If you add more and more oil trains, more and more coal trains, plus as business increases, you're getting more and more freight trains, and you still have the one track. I'm just talking about stuff.
It's just a capacity problem, just like telephone lines. And
how this is
circulates more east-west.
I'm talking about from here to Seattle. You got one line.
Well, that's why they're building all these sidings. So they can try to move the freight trains over.
David, to help us, and I'd like to maybe suggest this evening we separate out the two. I think if we have to respond to the port by Friday, that we go with the retail recruiting study, because if there's $20,000 available, I don't think we should let that go by. The other thing is maybe on the rail study, if you people would be able to show us what the application would look like, how involved it is, and what information and what time frame. Maybe talk to a couple of people who do this.
I would probably just
general idea.
I'd go to the city of Auburn and ask for their copy of the report.
It's on the
state. Oh, it is okay.
Perhaps if you could come back to that, and maybe we could have a little study session, and then we could get some sense of whether this is something we want to pursue.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
Charlie had a good point about the rent fund. Refresh my memory, if you would. How does money arrive in the rent fund?
I defer to Jeff.
It's self-replenishing at this point. A few years back, it was funded by a credit from the state. That state program went away, and so there's no longer any new money coming into the fund.
So that if we were to spend the money on either or both of these proposals, that's it. The fund goes
away.
That's
it. That's correct.
Thank you.
So we're not replenishing it at any rate every year.
No, we're not refreshing it any longer. So we'd be using up $100,000, say, for example, and that fund would then be half of what it is today.
Right.
And it could be less. I mean, we're going to come back with contracts and information for you. What I've learned in my work is it's always good to be over anticipated expense and come in early and come in less than coming in late with more.
I assume on the recruitment study that we would be giving it to the port after we've completed it, and they would be able to use that in other
locales. We hope that they would use it. We'd love for them to use it on their properties.
Other locales. So it would be beneficial to other communities as well. And maybe we would get something
I think
return for it.
We haven't talked to them about
copyright.
We haven't talked to them about a rail study, but the port is, they do all kinds of things, and this might be a conversation that they would be willing to engage in, as well. We're on such a short timeline; we haven't had a chance to really talk much about some of these other options. So,
I think the train study is a little more complex than we can deal with this evening. Maybe if we could sort of gather some more information, maybe talk to the Auburn, maybe talk to WSDOT, maybe talk to the port, and then sort of come back with a
We could do a workshop.
Yeah, we could do a workshop and maybe bring some of those people to discuss.
Yes, Steve. Let's see if we could take a vote on option number two. If we all agree on that.
Are you making a motion?
Paul has one more question before. Just hold it for one second.
Make a motion. That's fine. We can discuss the motion after he makes it.
Any seconder for the motion?
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any questions or comments?
Yes, I do. The recruitment study sounds intriguing, but it also sounds a little ephemeral. Do we have any sense?
What's ephemeral?
Out there.
Okay, we'll scale it down. That's fine.
It's out there.
It seems a little airy-fairy. Does that work for you? Do you have any idea of how these recruitment studies and the follow-on activities have, in fact, worked in other places throughout the country?
Well, as I mentioned, you know, the CD-ROM that we have really speaks to that, to the point where a lot of the retail companies that we'd be interested in working with, the retail really includes restaurants, sure, clothing stores, shops, all kinds of things. It also includes franchises. So there are, that's the standard in the trade now. People who want to, cities or corporations that have lands that they want to develop and fill with tenants, know that they have to do those demographics and understand the market in order to enhance and incentivize people to come and talk to them. The market is very competitive, and if you want to be in the market, you have to have the tools to do that. And I'd be happy to show that CD to you. Maybe Council Member Onion or Olison, you've watched that. You can comment on it. I think it's a real deal.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me ask one further question then. So that if McDonald's is asking, well, bad example, if Chipotle is contemplating a new outlet, they don't have their own internal research department, or maybe they do, but they rely a whole bunch on being recruited by cities throughout the country. Would that be a fair way of saying it?
Yes. And most of those, I would say all major stores, for, you know, whether you want it or not, Walmart, Trader Joe's, restaurants, all of those large chain type of restaurants and businesses and retail utilize that resource. The same thing applies, though, to local. There may be somebody who might want to start a business. That would be very helpful for that person or that entity to have that data to not only decide whether it's a viable business option or not, they could use it for financing, take it to the bank and use it as part of their research and background. We're not just looking to create a corporate place. We're looking to enhance, incentivize business. So we'd love to have local business use that resource.
And we have two retail centers in this town, and the thing is, a study like this would hopefully, the consultant would study what types of businesses and how many, et cetera, would be appropriate for downtown and what would be appropriate for out at the mall and kind of, or interchangeably in some cases, but there's some that are more suited to a downtown situation and others that are more suited to the mall thing. So it will have to be citywide. You know, we want to do a citywide study, and it should really, you know, it's so hard for us to know these kinds of things because we just don't have that experience and we don't know what it takes to draw the interest from these bigger companies or smaller companies. But something like this will give us some tools. It'll give us something in hand.
So we know that Starbucks requires at a minimum of 750 or so customers a day for their stores to operate. We know that Edeline now is at 750 to 800 a day. Customers a day.
So
that's the information they want to know about.
Okay, we have a motion. Been made. Any further questions?
One final comment. Instinctively, I think that a train station is more apt to generate growth in this town than the recruitment study. However, having said that, I shall vote for the motion, more or less taking your assertions on faith, and let's see what happens.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. I guess the motion is to accept the retail recruitment study. And All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay, the next item is approval of the collective. No, maybe. Okay, we'll take that at closed session. Okay, next item is commission, committee, and board reports. Two agendas. Yes, I do. I have my own agenda.
You're up again.
What the hell are you guys are doing? Here we go. I got to get the right agenda. I made my own agenda. Okay, the next item is...
Committee reports. Economic
development. No, we got to go to the back room.
Yeah, but they're both the same. This was a partial one. Okay, commission, committee, and board reports.
I'll just make a quick report because I've been up here for quite a while. That subject that you just spoke about and talked about for the last few minutes really was the essence of the last Economic Development Committee meeting. We really spent a lot of time talking about the pros and cons, and I think the committee is starting to gel. I have a sense that there's direction and purpose. People are very interested and they're engaged in the conversation. So I'm very happy with where it's going and how it's being attended. You know, sometimes you have a meeting and half the people show up. Everybody that's on that agenda or that roster came. So I'm really happy about how it's going.
Do you want to mention anything about that cross-border expo thing?
Well, I think you could. I haven't studied it as much as you.
Yeah. Well, Ferndale Chamber of Commerce sponsors a cross-border business expo every year, and I think it's at the Silver Reef. And they involve companies from the Lower Mainland, and they usually have fairly good attendance at this. And it's basically giving them information on what it takes to do business across the border. So I brought this to Dave's attention, and I thought, I think it's in June. And I thought it would be a good idea for, I think the booths are like $250. And I thought it would be good for the city to have a booth there with, I don't know if we'll have our economic development study done in 4 months, I doubt it. There's a really, there's a neat video we could maybe play in the background, have a continuous thing. It's the one that Mike Kent did with an overhead drone. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but it's a gorgeous video of Blaine overhead. So that could be playing. We could have a big blow-up map of our Gateway Industrial property and the downtown. But to attract manufacturing, which I think this expo is more geared to that, to have a map of that gateway area would be good, and you know, put it out there. This is for sale, for development, we're studying it, have handouts, the whole thing. Just blow our horn. Just blow our horn at this thing. So we're going to be discussing this at the Economic Development Committee, get their input and their feelings on it, and then probably work in that direction.
Good idea.
So it would be a great thing.
Thank you, Bill. Blaine Tourism and Advisory Committee, Steve.
We have a meeting tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. and no report for the Boys and Girls Club.
Okay, Blaine Chamber of Commerce, Blaine.
I could not make the meeting, but I understand Alex presented. Was anybody there? Were you there, Dave?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Presented for the Green Park Place Shelter.
Okay, how did, was it pretty good attendance?
Or
did
Steve,
it?
I think. I don't know if you're talking
about Alex. All right, yeah. Hey.
Good.
Okay, I'm getting the word out. Okay, good.
WTA board.
Who
donated
that?
Oh. Yeah. The first meeting for February will be this Thursday, 8 o'clock at the WTA headquarters.
Okay.
Public is invited.
Okay. Drayton Harbor Shellfish Advisory Committee.
No report.
Library Committee.
Next week they meet.
Okay, Senior Center Liaison, Dennis.
I got a flyer from Dana today, and it has to do with the dinner on March 11th, and it's for raising money for Meals on Wheels. One other thing they brought up, their freezers, walk-in freezers going out, and the you got to figure out something to replace.
Well, we made some headway on that this afternoon. Apparently, Wayne Mathers with the light department met someone from Blythe out there, and it sounds like it's an easier fix than they thought.
Good.
Oh, good news.
I'd hate to have the ice cream on.
Planning Commission.
I just wanted to report that the Planning Commission held a public hearing and granted a conditional use permit to the Islamic Center of Blaine, which will be in the old Masons Hall down on Cherry and Harrison. And the Planning Commission has an upcoming meeting to consider a variance and a conditional use permit for the pavilion addition to the community center / senior center Boys and Girls Club. And not actually a Planning Commission meeting, but something that you might want to know about is staff is hosting a community meeting on the urban growth area, what we kind of call the pipeline UGA, which is that large rectangular UGA to the east of the airport area. And just to talk with people, let them know that we're in our comprehensive planning process, what some changes that maybe on the table are, and to bring that discussion forward. It's likely for a lot of the property owners, they may not know that they're in a UGA and that they're eligible for annexation at some point, because that's not something a lot of people pay attention to when they buy property or when those kinds of regulations change.
Michael, where will that meeting be held?
Right here.
Okay.
And that's listed, the date of that is on your calendar. It's February 18th at 6:30. And then moving on to the Park and Cemetery Board, I wanted
Michael,
to mention...
Michael,
sorry.
If I interrupt you a second. For the Planning Commission, I'd like to publicly acknowledge what a very fine job the Planning Commission did with that public hearing. Both Harry and I attended it. It had the potential to turn disastrous, and it did not. It was well done.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. And I know that Mr. Robinson also communicated that to the chair, and he passed that on, and I'll be sure to pass on your comments to them this Thursday.
Thank you.
And then the Park and Cemetery Board, I the only thing that I wanted to mention was that their committee on open space and other projects has been meeting, and that is really kind of getting rolling now pretty good. Jeff was good enough to attend their most recent meeting to educate them about bonds and levies and how that program works and what the city's debt profile looks like and such. That was really well received. They appreciated that information, and they will. Alex will continue to manage that process, and they have a good work plan ahead of them.
Michael, before you go, regarding the Planning Commission, there has been some, I guess, suggestions that maybe we're due for a joint meeting at some point in the future.
Did it come up at all?
I know there's a lot of new people on the Planning Commission we haven't met.
So that's a great idea. We will probably do that maybe a little bit more towards summer, but not so much so that we get too much into vacation time. I would think we'll possibly try to schedule something more like May. We went through a long period of time where we didn't do that. It proved to be very valuable. So I want to try and make sure that we do that about once every year or 18 months. Thank you.
I think it would really be rewarding to do that. Gives us an opportunity to meet the Planning Commission members.
I think it's important for that reason, but it also was great for the sharing of information. The important thing is we have to make sure that we're meeting for a reason and that we have good topics that deserve some kicking around. They definitely look to you for direction, and I think sometimes they feel like they're operating in a bit of a vacuum, only looking at the law, right? And input from staff, but there are a lot of things that are nuanced by the direction that the city wants to go, and you set that direction. So it is important for them to get some feedback. But again, as I mentioned, it's really important to know what it is that we're going to meet and talk about. So we'll probably have a little study session to talk about what you want to meet and talk about, and then we'll set that up.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Michael, on the meeting on Wednesday, the 18th.
Yes, sir.
Is there a map that could be made available? Showing that UGA area?
There is. We're actually sending out a flyer tomorrow morning to all the property owners out there, and those will be available at our front counter. I'll make myself a note to email it out to council.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
David, do you want to comment on the Small Cities Caucus? I think we have a meeting coming up, not this Tuesday, but the next Tuesday.
Typically, it's the third Tuesday of the month, so it's going to be a week from Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
So I think, just as a comment, last time that we were at the meeting, I think Jack Laus was there and spoke a bit. And I was going to report during my manager report about our meeting with him this morning.
Yes.
Do you want me to hold back on that a little bit?
Yes, yeah.
And I don't have anything on the Whatcom Council of Governments because I think that's pretty well be covered by Dave's comments in our meeting today. North Whatcom Fire Update.
Evening, Council. I've shared with you our newsletter for the month, and I'm happy to point out on the front there that we had our audit that we have every 2 years, and we had a clean audit. No findings, a couple of small suggestions, but no findings, so we're happy about that. And on the back, we've got some fire safety for seniors information and also a great recipe for Valentine meatballs. Not quite sure how that goes together, but Valentine meatballs. And the last thing I would just like to bring you up to date on is I've been working on the ordinance for the boathouse down on the marina to match the ordinance that the city of Bellingham adopted last year. And I have finished that and I've submitted it to staff now for review. So. It's been a long process, but we're moving forward. So
fantastic.
That got completed by, and has been submitted. So.
Terrific.
With that, any questions? I'll be happy to answer.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you, Chief. Okay, the next item is Department Reports, Public Works, Raven.
Good evening, Council. It's a little longer list than usual. I missed the last meeting, so I apologize for that. I'll go quickly. First, to let you know that we're proceeding with the relocation of the water line underneath the Dakota Creek Bridge that's being required by a county project. And we did a pilot test to see if Birch Bay Water and Sewer could essentially backfeed water to Belle Bay Jackson and a few of the properties off of West Road. And in so doing, we would save the money of having a temporary main over the bridge. And that test was successful. We're going to go ahead and implement a couple of measures that we, a little bit of tweaking, if you will. We'll still have a temporary pipe and in the specifications that they have to have it available just in case something goes wrong. Engineers like redundancy, but we have the potential of saving quite a bit of money on the project, so we're very excited about that. In case anyone has been asking, we are currently looking at the erosion that occurred over the winter storms on the Semiamu Trail and the Spit. I met a consultant out there this afternoon, and we're working with the planning department on what we can do within the shoreline requirements and so forth to make that safer. It's clearly an area that has been dealing with storm damage for quite some time. And so while we're looking at a short-term solution to protect the trail, I'm asking the consultant that I'm working with to generate enough of a design and cost estimate so that we can apply for grant funds for a longer term fix because it continues to be a problem out there. We are proceeding with the bid for our groundskeeping, so that's going to be going out most likely this week. My hope is to have a bid award for you in March. As a part of that, Public Works has decided that we're going to remove the bamboo in front of the library. And we're working with Debbie on that. It's a huge maintenance issue for us, and we don't expect that we're going to lick it in one season. I think it'll be taking attention from Public Works over the next year. But ultimately, we'd like to plant something that's not as invasive. So that's what's, if you see some activity about that. I'm going to be traveling out of town next week to Olympia for the AWC days. I'm actually going to be sitting on their education committee moving forward. I was accepted for a two-year term as a public works director. My hope is to bring attention of the small cities to the AWC, try to leverage educational opportunities between cities so that we could save money when we're looking at certifications and things that we all need to keep up on. The Cane Creek study that we talked about when I was here, the meeting before last, you had asked for a study session. We're working on scheduling that. We also have a public meeting that's going to be at the library on the topic on the 6th of March. So normally I would prefer to have something in front of you before we meet with the public, and it didn't work to have that study session tonight. So I apologize for that. But we will do the relatively the same context, overview of the grant and progress thus far with the winter monitoring and so forth for you coming up here soon. Thank you for those of you that returned email to me regarding the Public Works Advisory Committee. I received interest by both Dennis and Steve. So we have the first advertisement in the Northern Light for citizen input that went in last week, and we're going to advertise that for 4 weeks to hopefully garner the four citizens that might be a part of that group. And so we can get started, because we've got a lot that we want to do this year. There might have been some discussion about the gang mailboxes that have been moved by the post office. I just wanted to let you know that we were made aware of that last week, and that was not done with Public Works authorization. Bill Bullock is working at communicating with the postmaster on a solution. Essentially, you know, they need to keep the 5 foot clear on the sidewalk. They've moved these now so that instead of on the back of the sidewalk, they're on the face of the curb, which requires a citizen to go out into the street to get their mail. So a couple of issues that we have with that, and we will work with the post office to hopefully remedy those. Yes, Mr. Lawson.
Is one of those questions for handicap access? Michael was mentioning that when I was talking about the people
right.
In a wheelchair have to be able to get down off that curb.
Right.
Once they're down, the height difference for them to reach up.
That's crazy, yeah. And so it's not just the handicap width of the sidewalk that they're taking off, but of course, someone in a wheelchair cannot get their mail. So they need to either widen the sidewalk and put it back, or widen the sidewalk and put a access from the rear.
So Raven, they did this strictly for their convenience in their drivers being able to, in a standing position, reach out from within the vehicle to do their thing instead of having to get out of their vehicle.
Right.
But in doing so, they've made it inconvenient and dangerous, possibly dangerous, for the public.
That's right. And
they didn't even tell.
It's terrible that we had to find out about that through a citizen.
Yeah.
So, you know, we work very hard with the post office when we design these streets, and in partnership with them where we place those. And so we're going to continue to get those relocated. And I'll keep you posted on that. I keep it on my agenda to talk to you about. and I guess that's about it. I'll be working with the senior staff on a future study session for rail for your comments this evening. Yes, Mr. Hawkins.
Question: when is the Peace Portal, the bridge, going to be closed? Can we set the date yet for that? Approximate time?
I believe the county's fish window starts the middle of May. And we'll, and I believe their road closure actually lets them go through October.
It's going to affect the school district.
Now, after our last discussion on that, I did talk to the county engineer about kind of coming to you and talking a little bit about the project at some point in the future, and I'll remind him of that conversation, and hopefully before May, get him out here. I know they routinely do that, but he is, at least of the engineers I know in Whatcom County, he is relatively new, so I will remind him of that. Any other questions?
Steve, any update on our busy beavers in Cane Creek?
I don't have any information about our busy beavers other than they've been busy.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Far none of the trees are blocking the water flow.
Not that I've heard about. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll be continuing to keep an eye on that. Thank you.
Before you go, Raven, just a question. How are we making out with the port on Marine Drive and the pier and all that? Are we still making progress?
Well, we have. We met with them earlier this year. Boy, time flies. And kind of went over what the framework of an interlocal agreement should look like, and they're going to be getting something back to us. So we continue to be on their radar.
Okay. We probably, people will still want to use that pier over the summer.
I know that just this morning we talked about benches and getting some planters out that never made it out last year. We want to make sure to keep it attractive. I know that the port is pretty pleased that they didn't lose a lot of their little boat wagons that they put out there. So. Thank you.
Michael, Community Development Services.
Very quickly, I just wanted to mention that we are scheduling another ribbon cutting ceremony for the Drayton Harbor Oyster Company, which will be opening on, or the ribbon cutting at least, is going to be February 23rd at 4:30. So that's before the next council meeting, if I'm not mistaken. We will send out invitations to you if you haven't already gotten one. And this has been really well received. Another business owner, I think, has really appreciated the our efforts to reach out and make these things kind of happen. They're really busy doing a lot of other things and don't necessarily think about press. So that's a bonus. It would be great to see as many of you there as we can. It'll be interesting to have yet another business in downtown. It'll be a great addition for the summer. They're actually looking at the possibility of trying to do some sort of an outdoor dining of some sort, potentially on the H Street Plaza. We're talking with them about that, and we may at some point be coming forward to you. We don't have a lot of guidance for that. Interestingly, though, it is all in the new downtown design standards information that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the new zoning for downtown, that concept of being able to utilize some of the plaza space for restaurants or businesses nearby, and what kind of rules we would have in place for using sidewalk. They don't have a lot of sidewalk in front of them. Not only is their storefront about 6 feet wide, the sidewalks are only about 8 feet deep, but we'll see what we can do.
There's another seafood shop going to be opening down on Marine Drive.
That's right. They're going to start selling crab and other things out of the old Dakota.
Are they open? Oh,
are they?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll have to follow up on that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Thank you.
Okay. Public safety. Next meeting. City manager.
I won't do the public safety. I will do the city manager report. First off, I just wanted to mention it's in your agenda that we have a length of service award coming up on Wednesday at 2:30. You're invited to attend. That's where employees who have been here for a number of years are recognized for service. So we'll be having that at 2:30. Probably have a little cake. And thank everybody for coming and enjoying the afternoon with us. Just want to make a brief report, and maybe Councilman Lawrence might want to join us on Friday. I think there's going to be a meeting on the pavilion addition to the Boys and Girls Club. That time hasn't been set, but that's one of those meetings where I think the decisions are going to be made about the final look and feel of the building. We have drawings and plans that are being finalized now. Those plans and drawings have been sent to the Cal Ripken Foundation because they're going to be our project manager and financial partner. We've raised about $380,000 to date, which is a significant amount. That plan will be built based upon the funding, so that funding may be short, but we'll know that hopefully by Friday, if not by Friday, shortly after that. On Thursday night, the use permit is going to be reviewed by the Planning Commission. I'm going to make a short presentation for that purpose. Alex did a great job of drafting the information for that proposal, and we're hoping that the Planning Commission approves that. They've approved it prior, and so it expired because of time. So we'll have that to report on Friday. The project is potentially scheduled to start mid-April. For now, we're on kind of a short track. That's the schedule and the timing that Cal Ripken Foundation can work it within their schedule. So it's coming together pretty darn quick, and should be a great project. Also, I wanted to mention this morning, we went down to the county executive's office and met with Jack Lowe's, as well as a couple of other people from Burlington Northern, and with Carly Guthridge from the Senator Del Benny's office to talk about the BACA system. Jack plans to take information from us. We're going to develop a white paper. I think he's getting a good bang for the buck. A lot of people that are affected by the train also live in the county, so somehow he's able to get us to draft that white paper, which we're happy to do because it does affect us a lot. But he's going to take the information to Washington, D.C., I think, in a couple of weeks, and plans to meet with at least four representatives from our area to talk about relocating the BACAs. Of course, the primary reason for the visit and the relocation is asked for funding. I think $3 to $4 million is not a short request. I think it's going to be at least that much money. Potentially, you have to build a new spur of siding. You have to relocate the BACAs devices. They're going to have to power it up. It's a big power hog, apparently. They're going to have to find power or move power down the right-of-way to it. So it's a pretty extensive project. And, of course, the biggest hurdle next to money is getting the Border Patrol to agree to it. They were not at the meeting today, but there have been many conversations with them about that. So I thought that was a productive meeting. I hope it has some consequence. We'll see how that goes. Just want to mention we are starting, and we talked about a citywide cleanup. You heard earlier about the Conley property. Our next piece of work is going to be at the that shoddy, torn-down old tavern just south of the Bell Red and the road at the Shell Station.
Crossroads.
Crossroads, I think.
So that's
a historic. I've heard that Loretta Lynn sang there. So anyway, that's going to be our next project. We've got three or four of them that are kind of lined up. That's going to be to get to that project. We're going to have to do some code amendments. We're going to come to the council with those amendments, including hefty fines. You know, the only way to get these things done is to be able to put a lot of money on the table. So we're going to up that from, I think it's about $200 or $300 a day to maybe a couple thousand a day. So that would people will pay attention to that fine penalty. The last thing I want to mention is on the 28th at 10 a.m., there's going to be recognition for Bert Isaacson again. Actually, the timing was just a little bit off, but the Congress actually, in January, before his other presentation, recognized his service. So Senator Beldeni is going to be there. She's going to be presenting that award, as well as working with the mayor and taking a tour around the city and having some lunch. And then ultimately, later in the afternoon, she's going to go to the high school for the math competition. So we'll tell you more about that, but I want to invite you to that. I think it's going to be a nice recognition, and we're going to try to spread the word. There may be others that want to join. The city will be asked to present one as well. We're going to bring a proclamation or resolution to you at the next meeting for approval. It will be presented to him. It's really a nice recognition for 50 years of service. It's amazing.
What time is that?
10 a.m.
And he's still a volunteer.
He's still
a
volunteer.
At age 100.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Harry, there's hope for you.
Yes, I know.
You could be a bag man.
Yeah.
So
I was a bag man.
Any questions or comments while I'm here? Okay, thank you.
Okay, we have the calendar in front of us. No changes to that. Any unfinished business? Any council new business? Hearing none. And announce that we're going to break for executive session. And it's going to be at 7:42 to discuss the collective bargaining pursuant to RCW 42 period 30 period 140 forum brackets and brackets.
And there will be action.
And we anticipate there will be action. We anticipate being out how long, David? 45 minutes or less.
I hope so.
You're all welcome to stay if you're.
Yeah, wait, I thought we were going to 6:30.